Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
Count really 90, and if it's not 90, it's the Brad Carson dork in the corner who has to go, hey, we did it here, you know, and it sucks. It's just a really crappy part of everybody's job, even outside of Memphis, going to your employees, or in this case, student athletes, who are 18 years old, by the way. They're adults, and they're making these decisions, and I realize mom and dad are involved, but you get the point. But there's somebody in the corner going, what's the number? The number's not 90. Let me speak up for the program, and then we don't have this situation. But I will say, I've actually lightened up on Penny, because like just while we're doing this interview, I see the tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski where the Brooklyn Blazers game is going to be postponed Thursday. So,
yeah,
like,
he cannot control the spread. I mean, you've literally got 30 something other, maybe it's up to 40 now, college programs who are in similar pauses,
right,
including the team that you hope to play next in Tulane. So Penny can't control that, but you can control things like knowing who's vaccinated or not, being on top of that, knowing that you've got a revenue game against Alabama State that you need to have. Like, you cannot afford to lose games. And so if you can control that in whatever way it is, right, you have to be able to have that person. And here's the other part, Brett. They can afford it.
Right.
With where Penny has brought them in terms of from a financial standpoint as an athletic department, what he's brought them out of, what you're still paying him, hell, I think it's still 2.3, Brad. I don't think it goes up to 2.5 for another couple of years. That's still less than Tubby. You can afford that guy, Brad, that basketball guy that sort of complements everything else you're doing in that athletic department. And again, Laird Beach, just not what you consider sort of that basketball guy. Again, and listen, I think part of this is on him as well, because if you don't have that guy, it's on you to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so from Memphis' standpoint, Bowen more of a football guy, it made sense to have that basketball guy and Ren Baker as your deputy athletic director. Again, we're not putting titles on who that is, but having someone in that position, which you can clearly afford now, to sort of be an overwatch for a program that's so valuable to that athletic department, I just think makes all the sense in the world. And maybe it doesn't bail you out of this completely, but I think it certainly helps in terms of what you possibly could have avoided. But you read this thing, and now it looks like Imani Bates wasn't going to play per injury, and it sort of seems to make more sense how it all got down to four, with Memphis still saying that you just had four players left, with Memphis still saying the majority of its team is vaccinated. You clearly had players who were injured that weren't going to make it, that weren't going to be able to, I suppose, not be able to play, and Earl Timberlake and Lawson, and now Imani Bates. But no, for Memphis, I just think it's completely, it kills you from an opportunity standpoint, because I just think you're going to have a very hard time making up that game with a similarly quality opponent, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. You could make it up with somebody, but getting somebody of that caliber is going to be tough to do.
So, You know, I just talked to Jason Munns about this towards the beginning of the show before we had you on, Jason, and we were talking about his column. He's the one who just reported, and I just read this morning. He reported it yesterday afternoon that basically Memphis was going to be down, like you said. It was not only
four guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the unbacked.
Amani was out.
Injuries.
Based on injury.
Right.
Timberlake out. You know, you've got Hardaway out. You know, Nolly. So what I did is an exercise where I said, okay, so if those dudes are out on injury, and you would have, in theory, at the time, had a perfect world where these people are, where the student athletes are vaccinated, and there's not contact tracing problems because they can play if they're in contact. He and I kind of determined you're about seven or eight after the red shirts and the people who are sitting out, which, you know, we've always wanted Penny to tighten the rotation, but, you know, you'd clearly be without your number two scorer in Amani Bates, which we can argue he doesn't need to start anyway. But it leaves you now a week out of the program. They don't get back, according to them, until Monday to practice, and then they've got a game against Tulane a week from today. And so that kind of, I think, brings us up to speed. Did I cover that all off as in the present time, I guess?
I think you did. I mean, I think you got all of it. Like I said, I suppose there is this, you know, this is this bit of hope, this morsel that you'll be able to – I saw where Munns mentioned in his mailbag that maybe UCLA is a possibility, that maybe all hope is not lost on getting a quality opponent to replace Tennessee. But I think you've got us caught up that Memphis isn't going to be playing again until at least Tulane. And when you get that game in, right now, sort of up for debate if you can get it in. But, yeah. I know there's no guarantee that you will, but I know Memphis and a bunch of other schools are scrambling right now. Again, I think the thing that hurts Memphis is you're just, okay, well, how many of your guys are vaccinated? How many aren't? You know, if you're not able to answer those questions for that team you're trying to schedule with, I think, you know, you're going to have a hard time getting it done.
Jason Smith joins us on 92.9. It's Brad here in studio. He's nice enough to join me on his vacation, holiday break, and all of the parenting duties like we all do this Christmas holiday season before New Year's. And so, you know, I was talking to Munns about this in the last segment as well. One of the other things I asked him was, okay, I as somebody who's not dug into this program, just assumed it's going to be impossible to, like you just said, schedule a non-conference quad one type of a team to get that on your resume. In case you split with Houston and you're on the bubble, or you don't win against Houston and you're on the bubble, or you're playing Cincinnati and it's not a quad one, so that you can build this resume if you're on the bubble or if you're in the 50s or like we were last year in the net. And he actually, after I thought that, he made the argument that basically if you're Colorado State, let's say, and you're on the bubble, and there are other teams sort of like that Colorado State vibe that are in a kind of a borderline conference, you know, they're not in a Power 5 or whatever, and they're going to need a conference win like that, that you might... I was sort of convinced after talking to him that that might be able to happen because of their need to also get off the bubble. You know, I'm not so confident that could happen.
I mean, you wonder how much of Colorado State is going to move the needle for you. I mean, yes, it would make some sense to add what I'm assuming. I haven't looked at them lately in KenPom, but I know the top 100 program. I'm figuring that, no, it doesn't give you what you lost in Tennessee, but it's still, you know, if it
something.
Could be, you know, quad to something to help you, and you figure a win for Memphis. Now, I get that again from Colorado State's standpoint. Oh, yes, that's a marquee win for us, for us, if we can knock off Memphis. Again, I'd ask, is it worth it at this point? Yeah, you know, what you've got to balance, basically, what you've got to look at to determine, Brad, if you want to play that game,
sure.
Is look at how much do you believe in Wichita State? How much do you believe in UCF and sort of those other teams in the AAC. Cincinnati, you could put them sort of in that group. It's how much you believe those guys can sort of remain top 100 opponents, because essentially, I mean, from a at least a KenPom standpoint, those are all top 100 teams right now too. And so, you know, if how much is adding a Colorado State going to help you? You know, if they're again, not knowing right now where Colorado State is in the KenPom rankings, I just think, you know, if you go through, do what you're supposed to do, knock off Houston one of the two times, which you frankly should do because of your talent. Houston's dealing with an injury that may affect the rest of their season with Tremont Mark. Injuring, I believe it was his shoulder, looking like he might miss the rest of the season. But do what we all said you could do before the season based on your talent. Knock off Houston one of the two times and put up, you know, what should be a fairly dominant conference
performance
record.
There, yeah.
And I think you're close enough. Like I said, you have to wait. If Colorado State is so good that, you know, they can come in here wherever you go to play them and beat you, well, that can hurt you the other way too. We know why they're trying to get it. My point is, if you just do what you're supposed to do the rest of the way, knock off Houston one of the two times and take care of business in conference, I still think you're there, even though that Alabama win that once looked like, mm-hmm. okay, this is one you can hang your hat on for the rest of the season, doesn't mm-hmm. look nearly as good now with the loss to Davidson.
Yeah, and you're going exactly where I was going to go next, because after the game against Memphis was canceled, the Tennessee game, I immediately went to go watch, you know, Auburn playing at St. Louis. I was watching the Western Kentucky, I think it was Louisville, their score, you know, and then last night you have Bama, which trying to get that win to hold up, they lose to Davidson at home. So that doesn't look as good.
Doesn't help you at all.
No. Ole Miss lost at home, and they didn't rule their shot at the end was no good. So Samford, who's a sub-200 KenPom team, this is a bad team. I mean, they're 10-2 or whatever in conference, but they're not good in the Raider. Those are the things that really suck, you know, because I was hoping St. Louis would beat Auburn. But that's what I've sort of resorted to because we don't have actual games. I don't even care if it's an Alabama State game. We just don't know what we've got with this team coming off of the Alabama win.
You have no idea, and it feels like your resume, yes, with these last couple losses, particularly the Alabama one, has gotten a bit weaker. I just looked it up. Colorado State's undefeated right now, 10-0, and sitting in the 30s at KenPom. Again, that sounds good. They're 10-0. If you play them at home, certainly that looks like a good win right now. But the thing is, what if you lose it?
Right.
I mean, it could absolutely murder you in that same way. And my question would be, does playing them offset, does it really add something mm-hmm. as opposed to just doing what you're supposed to do the rest of the way? I think if you do, again, you got to look around. I mean, right now, where are they in the net, Brad? I know they're at 31 at KenPom.
31, yeah.
Same,
that's exactly right.
Same position they were last year. Mm-hmm. If you do what you're supposed to do, and again, you've got a couple of quad one wins right now. If you could add one in Houston, I just think you're going to be close enough that, you know, forget that high seed that we all thought was possible early in the mm-hmm. season. I think right now you're just trying to get in with what's left on your schedule. I would be very careful in terms of just adding anyone, because again, you lose that game and you haven't helped yourself at all. You've put yourself maybe behind the eight ball in terms of what you would have to do in conference to offset a loss. So Memphis has got to be careful. It's got to be the right opponent, and you really cannot afford to lose that game. Whereas, again, if you go with what's in front of you, and I realize that's a risky proposition mm-hmm. just with what's left, and you do what you're supposed to do. Because, again, we could have another COVID pause, Brad. There's no guarantee you're getting in, you know, all 18 games of your conference schedule. But if it's close, I think it would be close if Memphis were going there. I'd be extremely hesitant about adding the wrong opponent.
No, I would too. I would too. I'm a little jealous, and this is sort of like football a little bit because, you know, we talk about how football and basketball are different if you're in a sub-Power 5 conference, but there are some similarities here in the sense that, like, after Tennessee loses that Memphis game, or doesn't lose it, they cancel it. You know, Memphis cancels it. Like, they're going to get a bunch of cracks at the whip here, man. They got Arizona at home tonight, which that's a beautiful non-conference, you know, game for them, especially at home. But then their conference play, they're just going to get too many shots at it. Like, even if they lose at Alabama, you lose at Ole Miss, you're still going to knock out a Mississippi State and a Missouri, you know, and you're going to get these quality wins that this is the problem, much like football, where you, if you're Memphis and you're sitting here, like, that's why that game Saturday, I keep going back to it, man. It's like, that's why I was depressed Saturday afternoon, because it held a lot of this promise, and it erases all this, that SEC teams don't have this problem, you know?
Well, imagine where you'd be if you hadn't knocked off Alabama.
Oh.
I mean, imagine, you know, if you imagine where
bad.
You'd be if it was five straight and you couldn't play Tennessee, it'd be
yeah.
much, you'd be much worse off. At least they've got sitting right now a 2-1 record in quad one games. And you could tell yourself, mm-hmm. if we take care of business again, what we didn't have last year were the quad ones. We've got two right now.
Yeah.
Take one out of two from Houston. Don't cry about the conference. Just go in there and take care of business. Because at this point, you can't control it. You can't get the Tennessee game back. That is done. So at this point, just go out there and take care of business, and you get where you're supposed to go. Like, there's no other choice for Memphis at this point. Year four for Penny Hardaway. You know, it just feels like all these things are happening now, and because of some of it self-inflicted, you could be looking at another year of not making the tournament. There's too much talent for that.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, there's too much coaching acumen still on that bit. We cannot move goalposts here. And yes, it's unfortunate that you're in this pause, but if you take care of business again, like you're supposed to with the talent that you've got, frankly, because you're still in the same place, KenPom, but now with the quad one wins, you should be in there. If Memphis keeps looking back and what it could have done, should have done all that, it's going to end up stumbling, you know, and not
yeah.
making this thing. And then you got real problems. I mean, they got problems now. Year four got to make the tournament,
mm-hmm.
but you don't make it. Now you got real problems going into Penny Hardaway's fifth year, trying to keep this build on whatever momentum is left.
I want to ask you just a couple more minutes here before you go, because this is sort of the last hit. We're going to have you on the show, and it's been sort of a retrospective week for us because this is it. Some positive stuff on the Grizzlies side. You know, you got Ja Morant back despite the loss. You've lost two in a row, but, you know, you had that big winning streak. You know, they're going to be playing at Golden State tomorrow, so you get a three-game road trip. Two hard games, one of them against Golden State, and then you play the Kings, which is a winnable game, and then you play the Suns, who looked fantastic on national TV last night. I don't know if you saw that Lakers game, but, I mean, LeBron played well, but the Lakers don't look like the team they're supposed to be, and the Suns look like the real deal right now. So just kind of talking about the Grizzlies, though, I think people were down on Tuesday, yesterday, because of the loss Monday, and you hear the news about Ja Morant being affected by the bad mouth in fans, even if there's one. And even if it's an echo chamber of one, just what did you think of that story? And where do you think of this team going forward with Ja heading into the three-game road trip, Jason?
So I was there on Monday night, and we could hear it from where Chris and I were sitting. We could hear the Trey Ja Morant told you so, and I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. And apparently Ja could hear it from down where he was, you know, from a few fools down beside the court. And that's what I'd call them at this point, were fools, just like the guy that was two rows behind us in the Pinnacle section that was yelling. And I tell you what, Brad, getting louder and louder the more beers he drank. It was easy to do because of the way that game went. At first it was kind of, Chris, listen, there's a heckler. We all kind of turned and smiled looking at him. But as that game wore on, and because of the way it did, right, with OKC being in a game it had no business being in, frankly, I mean, put that team away, Memphis. Because of that, by the end of it, you were just as PO'd as it sounds like Ja Morant was by the thing that you really had this, and it was getting louder because of the way the game went. I will say this: clearly, there is going to be an adjustment period here. That was a team. Forget defensively, offensively. That was a team that was clicking on all cylinders before it put Ja back in the other night. And you saw what happens when you put Ja. What they did was stand around and watch. They said, okay, Ja Morant, now go do your thing. Whereas that ball, when Ja Morant was out of that game there and in the previous 10 without him, whatever it was, that ball was moving, right? Guys were moving, and there was too much standing around. And that's what allowed OKC, frankly, to get back in that game. It's going to be an adjustment period to get Ja back in, to get that offense back to where it was prior to him being out of it. That, to me, seems like the biggest adjustment. We've been talking about defense, 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 and rightfully so because of how well Memphis played without him. I think it looks to me like the bigger adjustment, at least on Monday night, and it will be against Golden State, is offensively, guys not standing around and just watching Ja work. Oh, this is pick and roll. I don't have to do anything here but stand in the corner. Because that had been what had – that ball movement had been what had been so effective for Memphis in that time without Ja Morant was – you know, guys, equally balanced offense, guys hitting from everywhere. That wasn't the case on Monday night. That said, you still don't act a fool until, you know, yell it out, heckle, whatever, that this team's better with Ja Morant, because we realize that's a ridiculous proposition. That said, too, Ja can't, you know, I realize, you know, Ja, much like Tom Brady, much like Michael Jordan, Ja finds the things, he finds reasons to be motivated. And so Ja hears, whether it's folks doubting him or hears that one heckler that's saying, oh, go back and sit down. Ja actually hears that, right, and uses it as motivation. And to tell him not to do that completely would be to tell him to go away from his DNA, because it's part of what has made him the dog that he is, right, like being that underdog, fighting through circumstances as that underdog. That said, man, you can't let one or two fools be representative of an entire fan base. And so when you go out there and sort of, you know, put it out there as that, it ignores the whatever it was, 1,000 fans that were in there saying to that heckler, oh, man, shut up, you know, turning around. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And so that is not my point. It's not those one or two hecklers are not reflective of the Memphis fan base that obviously adores and realizes the blessing it has, the good fortune it had to get Ja Morant number two. But it was, Brad, it was under our skin by the fourth quarter, too, the folks that were in there saying that kind of thing, because, yes, in front of us was an adjustment that needed to take place. They were not good with Ja on the floor Monday. clearly it's going to take some time to get readjusted again. But we all realize, too, that, man, if you don't have Ja Morant, you're not in this position to it not just be a, there have been teams that have been trying to rebuild and get where Memphis is, right? Fourth in the Western Conference is now for years and years. Look at Sacramento, and it's failed and failed. There is no promise that you can do this quickly, and you've only done it this quickly, Brad, because you were able to get Ja Morant.
So, I think that's exactly right.
Adjustment period, and that will happen. It's unfortunate because Golden State's not going to be waiting for you to adjust, especially having beaten them earlier this season. It's going to take some time, but Memphis is clearly a better team with Ja, and frankly, it may take more. The offensive adjustment may take more time than anything he's got to do defensively to sort of get back on in gear.
That's really well said. You know, and you had the same experience. My wife and my son went to the game Monday, and that was the first time any of us had gone this season. Beyond, it was busy. You know, you're done with school now, so the wife and the kid went. And I got to tell you, they even in a loss, they said it was just awesome. You know, the team has been winning. They lost that game, but they said the game experience was great. Pretty nice little crowd there for a Monday on a holiday week on a weeknight. And they just had a great time. And I think that you said it best. Fans, I think, are all in at this point, and they realize that two dummies or one dummy doesn't represent the whole, and that this team has a chance to be a top four seed legitimately based on the way this West. I mean, that's not a joke. Like you can see them going into Golden State and winning that game because they're competitive. You know, I mean, it's a different deal.
And based on what's happening behind them, Brett, like you're still sitting, what, 2.5 games ahead of Denver and the Clippers?
Yeah.
Still 3 games ahead of the Lakers, 3 games ahead of your Southwestern member.
They can win your division.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You can win the division, but because those other teams behind you are struggling, I mean, and the position you put yourself without Ja, right? I mean, the way you were able to play without him, you've given yourself a nice little cushion. And, Brad, I don't see where all of a sudden you talked about that Phoenix Lakers game. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it changes for the Lakers or for the Clippers without Kawhi or Denver, who doesn't have MPJ. I mean, it's going to be hard for those teams, again, to all of a sudden just kick it in gear. They're starting to look like just what they are.
Yeah.
Right? Like teams that will probably finish, fifth, sixth, seventh beneath you. I mean, the Grizzlies have put themselves in a great position, and it's probably better to focus on that right now than sort of this idea that, oh, my God, look, can we get back to the days without Ja Morant? Please, let's get this adjustment period through. Get through this adjustment period. Get him back acclimated on offense and defense, obviously, and see if the Grizzlies can't get back on a roll again, because there's a prime opportunity to do so with the Clippers and Dallas and Lakers all sort of just kind of, spinning their wheels behind you.
No, and the final thought on this, I watched that Lakers game last night. The Lakers are one LeBron James tweaked ankle from, not making the playoffs. Like last night, he was their only real good player, I thought. And I think it was in the third quarter, he went down, and everybody just gasped because he's it.
You just said it. He's it because there's no margin for error right now because Anthony Davis is out.
Yeah.
And so now everything's on Westbrook and LeBron. And if there's any breakdown or if there's a bad shooting night, I mean, now
Dunzo.
With nothing from Davis, you can be Dunzo on any given night. And so now they can't afford to slip up with Anthony Davis out. It was already thin. It's even thinner now. You're asking more of LeBron. And, Brad, I'm not just sure. Him about to be, 37 years old this month? Just not sure how much he's got left in the tank in terms of putting everything in the backpack, putting the backpack on both shoulders and carrying it by himself. Just don't think he's capable of that anymore. We saw it last year.
Jason, you've been nice to spend this amount of time with us, and I want to do one question before I let you go, and it's sort of a hard one because it's been a long year. God bless, it's been a long year, getting back into the studio here, just from a work perspective. And then this story this week with the Tigers, the Grizzlies now back with the full stadiums and stuff, and then you have the Memphis football program, which is in Hawaii. They're expected to win on Friday. Just kind of what's the most memorable thing from the year, and what will you remember about the Wild 21 year?
Oh, most memorable thing of the year, man.
I know, it's
just
tough.
Just getting
I asked John.
Getting where we were to start the year in 2021 to where we are now, and it feels odd saying that because you're having, with this Omicron variant out, and pause is happening again, it does feel like somewhat of a throwback, back to the last season. That said, we have come a long way, and just think about it. Last year, on Monday, for example, I looked to my right, we got fans right next to us that don't have masks on, and yet I'm still comfortable with that based on the decisions we've made. right, as a family. I look to my left, right in the seat next to us at that game on Monday, the Grizzlies game. There's a couple of guys that do have masks on.
Yeah.
But the point is, we're all together, and I think here's what I'd say, but much more comfortable based on, again, the level of vaccinations, where we are. In our case, we're all boosted up, all that kind of stuff. My kid's vaccinated. And so I was comfortable enough to be sitting there with all that going on around me, whereas last season, you don't know whether the guy next to you, because of what your status is, all that kind of stuff. There was just more uncertainty. And so I think from that standpoint, Brad, and even still in the middle of this, sort of outbreak of this variant, I think I'm just a lot more confident. And again, a lot of that based on, our decisions as a family, what we've done to protect ourselves, just a lot more confident in terms of where we are in this thing. The fact that, I can be comfortable at a sporting event, not worry too much, or certainly not to the degree that we were last season. I think that, for me, is the biggest difference. I mean, the Grizzlies have been an unbelievable story. And the fact, I think, where they are and continue to be and how they're continue to be ahead of schedule, I think that continues to be one of the huge sports stories in Memphis. But I just think, Brad, it's attending a sporting event, again, being back and comfortable mm-hmm. At that sporting event is the biggest difference for me from the start of the year to the end of the year. Yes, the Grizzlies lost the other night to OKC, but for the most part, my son and I, we enjoyed ourselves. We were out. We were comfortable. Didn't have to have the mask on. That was a good thing that I was, certainly am grateful to see have happen here by the here toward the end of the year.
Jason, I'm really grateful for your time, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and the rest to your family. I appreciate your time, man.
You too, BC. Happy holidays, brother, and happy holidays to all of our listeners and all of Memphis. Hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. That is Jason Smith from 92.9 FM ESPN from this show, the Jason and John Show, weekdays 11 till 2. We'll come back later. Jeffrey Wright in the second hour. Also, Harold Grader, the executive director of the Liberty Bowl, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, is coming up, and Harold talks about it coming up around 1 o'clock or so in the third hour. Listen to the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah.
Jason and John Guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Brad Carson on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
It's 12:30 here at 92.9. Brad with the Jason and John Show sitting in, and from Ross Dellinger, breaking news. Offensive coordinator for Alabama, Bill O'Brien, and offensive line coach, Doug Marrone, tested positive for COVID-19. They are 10 days away from the semifinal game. Nick Saban says he expects both to be back for the game. The NCAA has presented data to the CDC in an effort of relaxing the 10 days, so maybe they get them back quicker. This is going to be the thing. Texas A&M, report from Ross Dellinger, unable to play in the Gator Bowl. Wild, man. I'm going to ask Jeffrey Wright from the GNI on Jeffrey show about this coming up in about 15 minutes. But first, before we do that, let's get some John Martin on this show. We had Jason Smith earlier in the first hour. Got John Martin here now. He was on the Jeff Calkins show earlier this morning talking about Christmas shopping and what he is getting.
Okay. You got who with the high chair?
Myself. I got myself a high booster chair.
No, but did you get it for – is that count as your gift for Sam? And who shops for Sam if you don't? That's my question.
Well, no, I got Sam a gift. I got Sam a gift, yes.
Okay, so you do some shopping.
Just, yeah, but, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of people, like, you know, on the, you know, I'm just not good at it, so I don't really get, like, items. I don't really trifle with items. I get, like, gift cards.
God forbid.
You know, because, I you know, you pick out what you want.
Yesterday, when all this came out about John Morant being unhappy because someone heckled him, I hope I didn't offend you, I made the following comparison. He reminded me, he is 22. Ja Morant, in his reaction, reminded me of you at 22. In that you can fill up a whole building with people who love him, but get one dude to yell out, sit back down, you're hurting the team, to Ja Morant, and that's who he's going to hear, and that's who he's going to focus on. And I just thought, you know what, that's what it is. Like, being young and hypersensitive, he totally reminded me of you. Is that fair?
Yes, except it was kind of like the opposite effect. Can you hear me a little better now?
Now I can hear you much better. Whatever you did
okay,
is much
so,
better. Yeah.
So it was a little bit of the opposite effect, whereas Ja was like the you know, he was the main guy, and the fill-in, right? Tyus Jones was great. I was the fill-in, and everybody hated me. Everybody was like, get Gary back or get you back. You know, I was like, if Tyus Jones sucked, right? Or at least that's how I felt, you know? But yeah, I mean, I can identify with that. And I would say now as a 30-year-old who's been doing it for a lot longer, I would say, get up out your damn feelings, Ja. Get up out your damn feelings, man.
Isn't that it? I mean,
you used to focus
on the one negative person on Twitter, you know? And
yeah,
now
I mean,
you
look,
mute them. Yeah.
I would just say this, and I would say, like I know as a professional basketball player, Ja has heard worse. I know he has. Like, there's just no way he has not heard worse than whatever he heard on Monday, you know? He's just extra sensitive right now because the team played well while he was hurt and beat that same team by whatever it was, 73 points.
And
he comes back and they lose. But you know, I don't even give this conversation really any legitimacy. Like, it's just so far removed from reality. I mean, you know, you're a superstar. Ja Morant is a superstar. And if we really want to dissect the Grizzlies during this stretch, like, look who they played. They played absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. All those teams they played and beat, they had, like, massive problems. Like, they were out with COVID. They had coaching problems. They had
dysfunction among the team. I mean, I know Oklahoma City wasn't the Oklahoma City team that they beat by 73. Still not a good team. They just lost a game.
No, but I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and overreact.
No, I'm not blaming Ja either. But I guess my larger point is why the hell is he so sensitive? Like, people are like, we got to do something. We'll put a special Ja, we love you video to.
Yeah, I would say, no doubt. Like, I would say to that, like, that looks kind of pitiful too. Like,
pitiful.
I understand why people, like, feel that, but, like, believe me when I tell you that you taking pictures with your kids in Ja Morant jerseys is not going to be the difference between him staying in Memphis or leaving in 6 years. Like, it's not going to matter. While it's like, you know, it might be sweet and you feel called to action and we love you. Like that's not what that's about. Like, it ain't, like,
there's a real insecurity in the community and having to race to prove to Ja that we love him. You know, do you think
it's crazy? I've never seen anything like it. Like,
you think if in New York, if someone gets booed and says, I don't want to play in New York anymore, I think New Yorkers are taking pictures. No, we love you. We didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It's crazy.
Ridiculous.
It's like when Joe Jackson, like, threatened to transfer, you know, Ja can't transfer. He's under contract.
You know, like Joe Jackson, everybody was like, we love you, Joe, and, you know, we want you to be. And so that, to me, that's different, right? Because, you know, that was really a situation where Joe didn't think it was going to work out. You know, this was back when he was a freshman. You know, Joe didn't think it was going to work out, and Joe was questioning everything. And, you know, I actually think at the margins that could have had an impact. But, like Josh probably not even seeing the tweets with the kids and the jerk. Like, it just, it's inconsequential. It's immaterial to the matter at hand. So you can knock yourself out.
You know, but, you know who needs some love? Amani Bates. Now, there's a guy who's
tweet Amani Bates.
You know? What?
Tweet Amani Bates pictures of your kids in Amani Bates jersey.
Pictures of Amani Bates. Like, there's a guy who's getting killed. Like, he's legitimate getting killed, you know? Or maybe even Penny Hardaway needs a little bit of love.
I mean, I think, you know, I think certainly that, like, Ja's a professional basketball player, man. Like, you know, and I understand, like, he's coming back off an injury, but, like, I'm not real worried about his excitement. Like, he's going to be fine. He's just in his feelings because they lost the game. That's about all that comes down to.
You're not on Monday, so you haven't really had much of a chance. I know you did a hit yesterday on your show, but you haven't had much of a chance.
I must say.
To talk about what happened over the weekend, but you did write a piece for the Daily Memphian, which people can read over there, where you talked to coaches of throughout the land anonymously about what they thought of the situation. I will tell you this: what surprised me was there are actually some coaches. I mean, look what's happening right now. Michigan is going as a team to get its boost, the University of Michigan football team, as a team today to get boosted. All of them. They're going as a team today to get boosted. Nick Saban has amped up the protocols already in Alabama. The players got to wear, you know, they're going to do meetings. You know, I guess Dallas is doing meetings. The Cowboys are doing meetings virtually. Alabama's jacked up their protocols again. They're like, everyone is reacting to keep their, not because they're worried about their players dying, but because they are worried about winning games. And so they're all doing all this stuff. And Penny said he didn't think about it. I'm amazed that there were any coaches who were even, that you talked to, who were even slightly on Penny's side, but there were some. Like, I don't know who the hell you talked to, but there were some people who said, well, you can't force a player to get vaccinated, who said that. Oh, same old crap.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, it's not that surprising, is it? You know, because what's our population that's vaccinated, right, in America? Like 60-something percent, you know? So
yeah, I think it's
about
more than that. Of people eligible to be vaccinated, I think it's,
I mean,
much,
I get your
I
point.
Like
sports is a little bit more concentrated, but, you know, there was one guy I talked to that, you know, I thought was clearly an anti-vaxxer. But he got vaccinated anyway because he didn't want to go through the BS, right? He didn't want to go through
It's funny, though. That's, in the end, I don't think that every athlete in the NBA,
right,
was it at 97%? I don't think they're all like, I need to get vaccinated. I think they didn't want to go through the BS. And that's why you fault Penny, because you just, if you want them to get vaccinated, you create enough BS. So then he says, screw this, I'm not going to, you know, literally.
Well, it wasn't communicated. It wasn't made enough of a priority. It just wasn't done well. And I do think it is the mark of the strength of a team, right? I do think that it is the mark of, you know, how good a team is and how close a team is, whether or not, you know, they've done this. Like Kentucky's, I saw this yesterday. Kentucky basketball, not only is fully, like, they're boosted. Everybody's got their boosters. Like, that's insane to me. But you know what? It was clearly a priority. They don't want to miss games. They don't want to have to forfeit games. And maybe if the policy was different at Memphis and the AAC, they would have gotten, you know, everybody would have gotten them. But, you know, everybody sort of is missing the whole point with this Memphis story. You know, it's not about, you know, they think you and I are on the board of freaking Pfizer. You know, I mean, it's just absurd.
Right.
It's not about that. It's not about the shot or about the merit of the shot. I mean, it is if you want to have that conversation.
No, it's about winning games.
It's about the competitive disadvantage that you are willingly putting yourself at that is now costing you games. And, oh, by the way, Alabama lost last night to Davidson. So that win is shrinking up. And Ole Miss last night lost to Samford. They were 14-point favorites. So your body of work is getting worse and worse by the day. And I think there's a real scenario where you're going to look up in late February and Memphis is going to be one really good win away from being a tournament team. I think that's a very possible scenario. And what are we going to point to? We're going to point to December 18th in Nashville, Tennessee, a game that Memphis could have won. You know, I talked to somebody in that program. They thought they were going to win. They thought they had a great game plan. And we'll never know now because of Memphis not taking care of business on the vaccination side. So, you know, I just think it's just one – it's one thing after another, right, over there. And it's just like when – even when something good happens, it's like they don't seem to handle it very well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a – it's been a really, really, really bad week for Memphis basketball.
And what – and, of course, even the situation you suggest that they could be look up and, you know, be one good win away from having to make the tournament, even that depends on getting there, depends on them getting through – this conference season without having a lot more games that they miss altogether or that players have to sit out and so they lose them, right? And that depends on them getting vaccinated. Now, I know they have, you know, better late than ever, I guess. They have had a Zoom meeting on Sunday when they have tried to urge the players and their families to get vaccinated. They released a statement yesterday saying the majority of the team is vaccinated. That's pretty vague, I would say.
That could be 52%.
So, but they're not going to get through the season. I mean, you just look around. Look what's happening. You know,
right.
They're
just,
not going to get
just two positives, right? I mean, that's just two. You know, so what that tells you is, you know, you have guys on that team who are not. Who might be vaccinated, but certainly aren't boosted, right? So they're at risk. Then you have your unvaccinated; they're going to be at risk. And you have more than two. So there's the point being is there are ample hosts on this Memphis basketball team for Omicron. And you know if this is the only disruption that Memphis endures this year, I would be very pleasantly surprised with the way that this thing. And I'm not the COVID guy, bro. Like, I mean, I'm not Neil McCready, but I'm not the COVID guy. But it's about competitive disadvantage. And what are you putting yourself at risk of? And this is such an important year for Memphis. Look, these are conversations that should have happened not in December 2021. I mean, these are conversations that should have happened in April 2021, in May, in June, in July. Hey, this is a serious thing that could disrupt our season. We can't afford that. And if Penny doesn't recognize that, then Laird Veach has got to recognize that. And if Laird Veach doesn't recognize that, then David Rudd has got to recognize that. There was too much on the line for this season to be disrupted. I mean, you had the IARP. You had eligibility things. I mean, you have to know COVID is another one of these threats. And it's just, it's a real dropping of the ball by everybody, you know. And I thought your I know you got heat for your column, but I thought it was spot on. I mean, this was just, you know, the difference between Memphis and all the other college basketball programs that have had cancellations is that Memphis had theirs canceled because they weren't vaccinated. They weren't vaccinated. That's why they didn't play, because they had contact tracing. You don't have to go through that if you're vaccinated. That is the difference. That seems to be what everybody is missing in this argument. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a self-inflicted wound that Memphis, quite honestly, could not afford.
It's funny, going back to Ja real quickly. That column that I wrote, last I checked, had more than 100 comments. I have not read a single one of those comments. I did not want to wade in there. If folks want to go read the comments, you know, head over to Commercial Pill. I mean, to DailyMemphian.com. God, I don't work at the Commercial Pill anymore. It was a long time, 23 years. You can go to the CommercialPill.com.
Sure.
But you won't find me there. You won't find me there. You won't find Chris Arrington there. You won't find John Martin there.
2004, maybe, you know.
Maybe in 2004. But anyway, and if you want to read the comments, I'd be entertained. They might be entertaining, but I'm not going to hear that. I'm going to tune them out. And okay, well, here, though. My personal hero, Cole Beasley, is going to miss the most important game of the year because he not only is he out, he actually tested positive for COVID. He has COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And he said COVID isn't keeping him out. The rules are keeping him out. He would play. It's the rules, the stupid rules that are – it may be our anger, John. I'm just asking you for devil's advocate here. Our anger should be directed not at Penny Hardaway and that team, but at the rules that said that the unvaccinated can't play.
Well, we know Cole Beasley would play with COVID. He clearly has no problem infecting anybody. Like, I mean,
right.
Like that's, you know what I mean? Like, he has no issue. Like, no, I mean, I think the protocols have to be modified for people who have been vaccinated, right? Like, if you're asymptomatic but you pop a positive.
That is Jason and John. Jason Smith earlier in the show. John Martin there from the Jeff Calkins Show this morning. That was recorded. So giving his thoughts on the Tigers program, what's going on with the John Morant and the Grizzlies. On vacation this week, John Martin there on the Jason and John Show. We're going to have Jeff Calkins tomorrow here on Jason and John, his normal slot at 1:25. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we've got Harold Grader, who is with the AutoZone Liberty Bowl around 1:15. Harold's going to join me here, and we're going to talk about the Liberty Bowl, which is approaching on the 28th. Super excited about my Mississippi State Bulldogs playing in that game. Ron Olson from 104.5 The River, who is a painter and a DJ and a friend of mine who we have on every year about this time to talk sports and more Memphis stuff. So Ron Olson after Harold Grader in the third hour, which is coming up next. But we'll get on Jeffrey Wright, host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. He's next with me to talk college football. I'll probably talk about what's going on here with Texas A&M bailing on their bowl game due to coronavirus. And I know this is Jeffrey's favorite subject, but college football in general, we'll talk about the Liberty Bowl. We'll talk about Memphis football. We'll talk college football in the action. And who knows what other basketball we'll get into with Jeffrey Wright.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Jason and John guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line. Live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Brad Carson on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
You know, the sound of 90s pop on a sports station can only mean one thing, and that is Jeffrey Wright joins us live on the Jason and John Show. Brother Jeffrey, a good excuse to get off the rotation. I'm going into your repertoire here. I'm going in the bag. I didn't go as far as, like, The Calling or Ingram Hill,
yeah.
But I figured I'd go into the bag a little bit to make you feel at home, brother. How are you?
Listen, I mean, anytime you can hear the sultry sounds of a young Rob Thomas, you have to do it. It's a gift to everyone.
Really is. Remember, I programmed one of those now defunct radio stations when they played the rock pop era, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad that you appreciated it. It is 12:54, and we've got Jason and John. I'm hosting. Jeffrey is on by phone, and you can hear him on the Giannotto and Jeffrey show. So that's part one. Part two is he's the executive producer of the Jeff Calkins show. Part three, if I'm getting this correct, we are now hosting a national show. It is called In the Action. It's
BetQLU in the Action.
Thank you. BetQLU in the Action. For a while there, it was just a national show that didn't have a radio station in Memphis carrying it, and then we decided
correct.
To add a radio station carrying it on 790. So you can hear it. It's a national. I listened last weekend. It was great, Jeffrey. How are you doing with the real-time thing, watching games while you broadcast on a radio station? It's a little different.
It truly is an experience that I never thought I would get in my entire life. I mean, all those years where I was an outcast, you know, all the snide remarks from my parents about, and my dad really didn't because I think he got it.
Yeah.
But from my mother thinking like I'm just blowing money to my girlfriend, then fiance, now wife, thinking that I'm just wasting money. Yeah. Who's laughing now?
Yeah.
You know, literally, like, I think the one thing that really stands out in gambling content, it's pretty apparent pretty quickly who's a fraud and who's, like, cut from this cloth.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think in sports talk radio in general, you know, authenticity kind of shines through. I think maybe you can kind of format your way to a mediocre show, but if you ever want your show to be good, it has to be authentic. It has to be who you are. And, you know, this is something I've literally been doing for pretty much most of my adult life, and now they're putting a camera on me, and
yes.
I'm sharing with the world, and I'm grateful to Connor, and I'm grateful to Twitch, because they've both been outstanding partners in this endeavor, and it is just a ton of fun.
I like the team. You know, Connor and I were talking about it. I talked about it with Twitch yesterday. Twitch came over, used to be on 93X, so he's a radio guy. And then 15 years later, here's the sports station on. He came back home, and he's producing your show on 790 on Saturdays in the Action, BetQLU in the Action. But just in terms of you, like, I'm a fraud when it comes to gambling because I'm losing money, you know? And I know that even gamblers lose money. Even professional gamblers lose money on sports. So it doesn't mean you're a fraud if you're losing money. You're just like the rest of us, and you might have had a bad round, or maybe you're having a bad year even. I mean,
and that's what I mean by fraud is there have been a lot of people, and not in particular on our station, but as gambling has become mainstream, it's being legalized. There have been a lot of people that want you to believe that they're gambling experts, and I never claim to be an expert. I am someone that knows what I'm doing. With that being said, like, you're going to lose. That is the nature. Like, the only way to beat gambling is if FanDuel, if one of these gambling companies comes and scoops you up and says, here's $30 million a year, like Pat McAfee just got. That's the only way to beat gambling. Like, if you're just sitting there and trying to beat sports gambling, my complaints are more with, we see a lot of shows that have been developing, and I don't get the sense that people's hearts are truly in it. I think they're doing a job, and this is where the space is, whereas I'm in the complete opposite. I'm not working a day because this is what I truly love to do, and this is a part of sports that I'm very passionate about.
Are people like me justifying their entertainment dollar even when they're losing money? So that's the deal, right?
Well, I mean, in the end, there's always a cost benefit analysis. Like, if putting whatever $10 on the game or whatever your number is, whatever your version is, if it's something that you're not going to miss, and that's what helps you watch the game better, how is that any different than like going to dinner? Like,
yeah,
we can all cook and provide for ourselves, but sometimes you want an extra additional entertainment factor. Like, you can wait for the movie to come out on the streaming service. Some of us prefer to go watch it in the theater. So in the end, it is a value-added market. The one difference is I've never been to a movie theater and gotten money going back while actually watching the game. Like, there is the opportunity to actually make money.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the whole difference. So when everyone goes, you're lighting money on fire, well, no, because when you light money on fire, you don't get it back. There is the opportunity to get it back. And so there is that aspect of it. But really what it boils down to, if it's something that you enjoy and it's an entertainment expense, I mean, almost every single person I know that has a budget has an entertainment aspect of their budget. Like, as long as you're not, unless you're trying to get rich off this, like, I always say, have at it.
Yeah. Jeffrey Wright is our guest here on the Jason and John Show, host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, executive producer with Jeff Calkins. And on that point, this fall, you publicly, and you did this, you've done this for the past 4 or 5 years. How many years has it been now? My memory's not, is killing me. Is it four?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.